In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and we are in the book of Exodus, chapter 24. We've just seen God ratify the covenant. Israel, 70 leaders, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, went and had an incredible meal with the Lord, and the Lord did not lay a hand on them. He did not harm them because they were protected by the covenant. We spent some time looking at the new covenant, how it's far superior than the old covenant. And now we come to Moses being called up to the very mountain of God. And it's going to be revealed to him the Ten Commandments, the law of God, a whole bunch of things. Now, the Ten Commandments have already been given in Exodus 20. What I mean to say is that God is going to expand and explain his law. And this is so important that we understand his word. This is so critical. Now, let's begin at Exodus chapter 24, verse 15. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud, went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, can you imagine this scene? You know Moses is up on the mountain, and you're the people of Israel, and you're looking at this mountain, and there's a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. And everyone's got to be asking, how does he live? How can he be with God and survive? It was a terrifying scene. This word cloud is the same as before. It's a thick cloud. Exodus 19:9, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Matthew 17:5, another situation. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. So when God comes down in a cloud, boy, oh boy, it is a frightening experience. Now, 6 days, and then there's a seventh day. This is an allusion to the creation week. The parallelism points to rest with God. And consider all these other parallelism, right? You had the burning bush. Now you have the burning cloud. You have God calling Moses to himself. So you have God instructing Moses, just like he did at the burning bush. Now you have him doing it at the mountain. So God is consistent, but this is a greater thing that's going on here. And it said there, the eyes of the children of Israel, the sight of the glory of God was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. This would have been stunning, amazing, and terrifying. What's even more amazing is the fact that Moses was up there 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor water. How can that be? Well, the answer is simple. He's with God, and with God, he gives him life. He doesn't need food. He doesn't need drink because God is all sufficient. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, there's an important conclusion here that I don't want you to miss. There was a covenant with Abraham, and that was unilateral, one-sided. And included in that covenant with Abraham was land promise. The seed of Messiah would come through Abraham's line, which is the new covenant, and a promise. I mean, there's a lot of amazing things. The land, the seed, the new covenant, all this. Now, the covenant Sinai was bilateral, two sides. And it did include the land and the seed and the new covenant. It's a bridge to the new covenant. You need to understand that. Galatians 3:23 makes this very clear. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Do you see how the new covenant is superior, and it's a replacement. It brought an end to the old covenant. And thank the Lord for that, because who can do all the words of the book? And even though Israel said that with all sincerity, I don't doubt they desired it. The flesh was weak and they failed. And so the old covenant was a tutor. It was a guard to hold them until the time was right for Christ to come. These are important truths that we must understand about the old covenant and the new covenant and the differences. Now, what's going to happen next is Moses is going to learn about the tabernacle, and he's going to get all the instructions so that when he comes down, they can build a house for God, that God may dwell with them. And this is absolutely amazing. Now, I highly recommend going online as I'm going through this and get a visual. It can be really helpful. Let me walk you through the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle at this time is the Mosaic tabernacle. It's portable. It was in the wilderness. It was built around 1450 BC after they were freed from the Egyptians. It was the first temple dedicated to God and the first resting place of the Ark of the Covenant. It served as a place of worship and sacrifices throughout Israel's 40 years in the desert and until they built the official temple with Solomon in the land of Canaan. Now, there's some other names for this tabernacle. It's called the sanctuary, the tent, the tabernacle of the testimony, and the tent of the testimony. Now, how are they going to pull this off? Now, remember, these chapters that we're going to get into are going to repeat again later, and we'll do that more concisely. But this is the stage where God is revealing to Moses what he's going to have to do. And there are a lot of details here. So I'll do my best to keep it simple and give you a visual picture of the text. Now, let's begin with verse 1 of chapter 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now this is on the mountain during the 40 days and 40 nights. Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, thus you shall make it. So God is going to be very specific in his instructions. He's going to give Moses a template, a pattern, the designs for what needs to be built and how to build it. Now, the time frame, as I said, this is during the 40 days with the Lord. The offering in Hebrew means terumah. It means first use. This is the first use of this word. It means to give willingly with one's heart. It's a willing heart. It's a gift to the Lord that is special, voluntarily, without compulsion, but is also for a specific need or purpose. It is intentional and motivated by love for God. What was needed? The best of what they own. Now, there's a specific order that the Lord provides. There's an order overall and there's an order within. What do I mean? Well, first it begins with metal, and then there's thread and weaving, there's animals, there's wood, there's oil, spices, and stones. That's one order. But then within each of these categories, there's an order. So in the case of metal, it's gold first, then silver, then bronze. Notice the order in value. And by the way, the closest to God gets the greater precious metal. That's why the Holy of Holies, as you're going to see, is all gold. And why when you get to the court of the tabernacle, it's mostly bronze. Now, after the metal is the thread for spinning and weaving: blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen. These are amazing colors and of the finest quality of materials. This is nothing but the best for the Lord, and it represents royalty, wealth, honor, splendor, and majesty. Now, you and I really can't appreciate beautiful, vibrant colors that were made in 1450 BC. Today, we got technology that does this. But listen to how they make the color blue. It was derived, we believe, from shellfish found in abundance in the Mediterranean Sea. It was extracted, this blue, by opening the shellfish while alive, and then they would force the glands to secrete a transparent liquid, which would then turn deep violet blue after drying in the sunlight. Now, you got to stop and ask yourself, how in the world did they figure that out? I mean, when's the last time you said, yeah, I've got this idea, I'm going to go crayfishing, and I'm going to open up this fish while it's alive. Oh, look, there's some glands there. I'm going to squeeze those. Hey, check this out. There's a liquid there. It's colorless. I'm going to leave that out in the sunlight. And wow, it turns an amazing blue. That's just not going to happen. Now, I'm sure there were fishermen who probably, you know, opened these up and eat them, and they noticed it at some point. But look at the process to do this. That's expensive, intense manpower, great cost. And you can see that this is something for royalty. And scarlet, by the way, came from the body of a type of worm that they would have to crush up in order to get the red scarlet. Wow. Nothing but the best for the Lord. Now, when it comes to animals, they had goat's hair, which is a rough hair, ram skins dyed red. Now, it says badger skin, but that's really a poor translation. It's most likely dolphin skin or a sea cow or manatee species. This was the waterproof. I mean, where else do you get waterproof but from an animal who lives in the water? And then there's the wood. Now, acacia wood was the largest and most common tree in Arabia, especially near Sinai. Then there was oil, which would be for light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. And then there's the stones, onyx and other stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Now, what's fascinating about this particular stone, onyx, is from Genesis 2:12. Look at this connection. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. So what's going on here is that the Lord, through these additional symbols, he's taking us back to the Garden of Eden, showing us that God desires to be with his people. So the onyx stone, the gold, all of this is pointing back to a lost fellowship that is now being restored. Interestingly, if you go to Ezekiel 28, verse 13, we read about Satan. You, Satan, were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Now, if you do a comparison of the stones with Satan and the stones of the high priest, they don't overlap completely. There are some differences. But again, it's hearkening back to the garden. Well, our time is nearly up, and these are just the beginning of some amazing truths that we're going to see regarding the temple. God is going to dwell with his people, and he's going to do so in a royal and majestic way. And let's not forget, this is a shadow, a picture of things to come in the real heavens where the Lord truly dwells on his throne. And so we're getting a glimpse of heaven itself. Well, thanks for joining us for this week's study in the book of Exodus. May you continue to grow in the grace of God.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.